Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. And again, it is another day that we've come back to talk to you on Blog Talk Radio. And I am your host, Dr. J. O. Robinson. Greetings from you from our ministry, His Report International, which was changed by from Days of Harvest. We are now on His Report. I just want to tell you that I am so excited about what Jesus is doing in and through you and me now. I want to give a shout out to all of my friends who listen to us in the archives, especially those who have given us testimonies about what the Lord has done and is doing in their lives. And I just want to tell you that I appreciate you greatly. Those of you who listen to us live, I just want to say that may the Lord bless you today. And that we will say something that will build your character in the Lord Jesus Christ, build you up, to edify you, to uplift you, and to bring you to that place where God desires for you to be. Now, I want to let you know, by faith, you're already there. But in the respect of the fact that you may not feel that you are, we say to you, by faith, we'll get you there. How about that? Amen. Glory to God today for another podcast. And what I thank God for our friends that were with us on the Lad podcast, Penny and her husband, Tim. Tim and Penny Fuller. Praise God. One of my best, some of my, the best friends, some of the best friends we have in the world. You're a man who lived down there in Plant City, Florida. Praise God by way of Tampa, if you're not familiar with Plant City. Plant City is where they had all those luscious strawberries. Amen. As a matter of fact, while they were here, we went to shop and found some of the Plant City strawberries right in one of our local stores. But all that being said, thank God for them and their trip that was back there. They were with us a couple of weeks ago. And we just want to give a shout out to those guys and let them know that we love them. Amen. All right, let's get back into the Word of God. Last podcast, we talked about faithful and true. But now we're going to talk about, and we were talking about the Lord, of course, being faithful, and He is true. And then now we want to look spread a little bit more into the podcast about the Lord's. We're talking about the Lord's faithfulness, but more or less we want to share a little bit about our faithfulness to Him. We'll just bring over to you just for a moment. We're going to talk about, through these next segments in the podcast, a committed life. And that's very important to you and me, that we have a committed life, not just a life, but a committed life. And we're talking about a committed life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're really emphasizing here about our commitment. And we want to make sure that we become very vivid about the committed life. Let's talk about that. Our theme and our passage of reference that we're using for this particular passage and this particular thought or topic is from John chapter 15. St. John chapter 15. And we're going to use several other scriptures that are associated and affiliated with that particular passage But John chapter 15 is going to be one of the base scriptures that we start with, some of the foundations of what we're going to build here by the grace of God concerning our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the gospel as well. But more particularly, we want to share with you of our commitment in life. Let's start with John chapter 15 and let's pray first. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that the words that we speak today will be edifying and uplifting to your people, and that they will bring forth much light, insight, wisdom, understanding, and ability in all things that pertain to life and godliness concerning them. They will build their faith that they be pleasing in your sight, and that they will produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Good fruit that it will fall on good ground. Amen. Let's talk now. John chapter 15, verse 1 begins talking to us about a familiar passage of scripture that Jesus was sharing with his disciples. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And he goes on to say, every branch in me that bringeth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, in those two passages of scripture there, in John chapter 15, we're very, very, very excited, and we see now Jesus talking to you and me. He's really emphasizing to his disciples the importance of a committed life. He says, I'm the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. And that word commitment, let's talk about it for a moment. It means to, in this particular passage, taken from the word, it's kind of like a paradigm or paradigmy in the Greek, but it's really the word which means for you and me to give over. And so that means that you and I have given over, we've entrusted our will, the will that has been given to you and me. We've entrusted that will into the hands of the Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, his Son. So that means that we have submitted ourselves, not just committed, but submitted. We become subject to him. We become subject to his words. We become subject to his way. We become subject to who he is and whose we are. So that means that you and I have become subservient, or either we become a person who has become a handmaiden of such, or a servant to who and what God is all about. So that means that we become committed. We've committed ourselves. One also translation means to continue to do. It means to practice. One Greek word for that is praso, which we get our word practice. And in practice, it means, I've always told people that we are spiritual practitioners. Yes, a spiritual practice. Somebody who practices this. We don't just, hallelujah, we don't just do it one time, two times, three times a day. I mean, three times and that's done. We're done. No, we practice this every day. We become, and so somebody said, they used another phrase, and somebody said, well, you're playing on words. No, I'm just giving you, trying to bring you to a clarity and a clear understanding that it also means that we live in a practical society, or either practical world. Even though we are walking in the spirit, there's a practical side to life. And that side is what we do daily. We practice walking in the ways of righteousness and in the ways of godliness and in the ways of his word. So that means we become committed. We become committed to his word. And so therefore we desire to live a committed life. So he goes on, let's talk about life for a little bit. That word life is actually taken from the word zoe, which means abundant life, that not just regular life, not the life that you and I would say in this particular world in terms of some people are existing, they're not living. That's what I mean by when I say life. I'm not talking about existing life. I'm talking about Zoe, which means the life that is more abundant, the God kind of life, the God way of life, the God life. And that is the God. When I say the God, I'm talking about Yahweh. When I say the God, I'm talking about through his son, Yeshua, who is Jesus Christ, the Lord. So that's what I mean when I say life. I'm talking about a spiritual life, a spiritual walk, a spiritual emphasis on the God kind of life. So therefore, we have a committed life. We've been given over. And let's just use it from this particular thought. We'll use it in, we'll bring it into this type of synopsis, and that is, we will say, we will bring it into a central thought, one sentence, that our committed life, we've given our life over to the God kind of life. How about that? We've given ourselves over to the God type of life. And I think that would sum it up for what we are seeking to say concerning the committed life. Now, let me say this. You know, some people have, for instance, missionaries, people who go out on the mission field to be in other places or be with people in a different society or social realm, they have become committed to do that particular thing. So they have been commissioned. They have really, so many words, committed themselves to be, as we call, missionaries, people who go and serve others and for this respect, for the cause of Christ. In other words, they've laid down their lives. They've given up themselves. They've made themselves available to be a service to others. And that's just not just in the missionary group, but also, as we see, basically, we believe by faith in the body of Christ, totally. And we're going to talk about that shortly here. But I wanted to give you kind of an idea of what we are talking about when we say committed. And so we want to live, and we live in the committed life. At one point when I started off in the ministry, back in the late 70s and early 80s, one of the things that was said to us when I joined a missionary outreach in a group back in Memphis, Tennessee. The thing and our theme of that group was, we called it total commitment. In other words, we were sold out, and I'm not talking about S-O-U-L. I'm talking about S-O-L-E. We were sold, S-O-L-D, I'm sorry, sold out to. So many English words that have same sound, different meanings, and different spellings. But I'm saying here the word sold, S-O-L-D, which is me. What I'm saying is we were totally, completely submitted or given over to the gospel ministry. So we called it total giving over. Can we say it that way? So that you'll have an understanding, we're talking about commitment, but we were saying, and I'm saying to you today, that we were talking about total giving over. And the passage of scripture that the Lord had put in our hearts when that particular time was in Mark chapter 10, and I think it's around about verse 28 in Matthew chapter 19 somewhere, and we'll talk about that later on. But the scripture went on to tell us that there was no man who had left mother, father, sister, brother, and lands and houses and lands for the sake of the gospel would not receive, not only in this life, sisters, brothers, mothers, and houses and land, but in the life to come, eternal life. And so we moved into an era, and I think we were misunderstood about it a lot, but. And I'll talk about that later as we move into the podcast. We were totally given over, or fully given over, to the gospel ministry. And friend, I just want to tell you today that everybody should be, and everybody who is really walking in this way really is given over. And we'll talk about that as we view Matthew, I believe, chapter 16, as we move on down into the podcast. Yeah, we'll talk about that in Matthew chapter 16 later. But listen, I just want to give you a brief insight and overview of what we are talking about when we say the committed life. And it is that way. You know, in John chapter 15, verse 1, and we go on, we're going to read all the way to 13. We just read the first two verses. And what Jesus was talking about, this is Jesus talking as the Apostle John has so eloquently wrote here in these passages. He's echoing the voice of Jesus when Jesus begins to talk to his disciples concerning bearing fruit. He said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. In other words, when you and I are not bearing fruit, we're really refusing to be blessed. Because in our fruit bearing, we become blessed, or either we are the blesser to become a blessing. We're the blesser to become a blessing. Why? Because when a tree bears fruit, it's not bearing fruit for itself. It's bearing fruit for the people that would look thereon to partake in the fruit thereof. So therefore, that tree is a service to the individuals that cultivate it and whatever that make it grow. And also we know that there's other elements and means that make that tree produce. But at the end of the day, the tree is there to for a service, and that is to bring forth fruit. And that's why when Jesus walked upon that fig tree, and another passage of scripture, he found no fruit there. He said, I come here 3 years. What he was saying is that you're not serving your purpose. You're not serving. And you know, you've heard me talk about this before on earlier occasions in the podcast. But he said, you're not serving your occasion. So, I mean, your purpose. And so he said, I'm going to cut you down. We're going to have to do some work around you in order for you to produce. So in other words, he's talking to his disciples about being blessed here, really. He's saying you're refusing the blessing, and that blessing is to be a service to others. And that's what I came to do today. I came to share with you, and this is why these podcasts are so important to me, by me being able to get into the airways to share with you our heart concerning the ministry. It's a service, as we believe, that God has given us to be a blessing to you as those who are listening. As I shared with you early on, to build you up in your most holy faith and to bring you to the place where, praise God, you feel the peace of God and knowing that you are in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing in the right spirit. Amen. How about that? So now this is what this Jesus is saying. Don't refuse a blessing or else you won't be of a service to who you're seeking the bless. Amen. So he goes on to say, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Glory to God. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Their purpose in life here was to bring others to the saving knowledge of the truth or the gospel. And so I'm saying to you today that Jesus began to say, you cannot do that unless, first of all, you abide in me and I in you. In other words, I'm in you, you're in me. And so I can't do anything, you can't do anything without me. And he says, I can't really do anything without you. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? So he was sharing with them that they needed each other in order to produce the results that was necessary. Amen. For the finished product. And that is to bear fruit. What fruit was he talking about? He was talking about Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs 11:30 says, for the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he, notice what he said, a tree of life, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. In other words, he's saying, I want you to win others. I want you to bring others into this life, this Zoe, into this abundance, this way of living. I want you to help others to give over to this way of living, to this abundance of life. Zoe, abundant living, a committed life. He said, I want you to bring others. I want you to bear fruit to bring others, persuade them to come to this way of living. Okay, now in verse 5, he says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. In other words, without him, he said, there is no blessing. Without me, there will be no blessing. In other words, you won't be able to serve others without me. In other words, it's going to take a supernatural way of living, a power to serve others. Because you know what? Sometimes you just don't even want to get up in the morning. It's just in the natural. And sometimes those of us who live in the supernatural, the even abundant life, sometimes we become tired. Now, and that's a way of living. That's the practical side of what I shared with you earlier. But oh, glory to God. When we know that the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us, the same Spirit that quickened Christ Jesus from the dead, the Bible and Paul says, shall also quicken or bring alive or give you the Zoe life, your mortal body. So that's why we can say, as the psalmist said, for this is the day, I think, Psalms 119, that the Lord hath made, and we shall, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it, because we have the Zoe type of life. We have the, glory to God, we have the abundant life abiding in us, and that life is a life that produces and brings forth more life, or either what we call fruit for the kingdom of God, and that is bringing in the soul, or calling in, or adding into the soul of man. Amen. So then he goes on in verse 6 and says, if a man abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch. If a man abide not in me, he said, I'm sorry, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, he said, and my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, what was he saying when he says, ask what you will? Well, first of all, you got to will it. Willing means, you know, there's a... I always give you a scenario of the soul. It's the compartments of it, the three. It's the mind, which is the seat of the intellect. The emotions, which is the seat of the feeling. And the volition, which is the seat of the will. And so with that, we think in our intellect or our mind. In our emotions, we have feelings. And so therefore, because we are people, and in the last part of that soulish realm that we have to operate in and through, even though we are saved by the Spirit of God, our soulish realm must operate through that. We have a will of volition, we do. So in other words, we think, say, and do. He says here in verse, watch what he says now. He says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye do or will, and it shall be done unto you. In other words, if you ask according to his word, he said, I'm well more than happy and delighted to do it. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, if you ask me for the blessing, I'm willing, he said, because you have will to do it. If you ask me, I'll do it for you. That is, if we abide in him. And what does that mean? That means if we are constantly partaking of his life, which is Zoe, and that only comes through his word. And I just want to elaborate on that, because his word is power. It's not the letter here, but it's the actual word that we receive. He said, my words are spirit, and they are life. And that's what he said in John chapter, I think, 6 here. He says, 6 and 63. Let's go there right quick, just for the moment, so we can hear what Jesus is saying too. Because he was ministering to his disciples about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and he went on to talk to them. He says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So that means that the words that we're speaking here, and he says, if you abide in me and I abide in you. In other words, he said, if his word abides in you, and you abide in his word, then you can ask what you will, and he will do it for you. He will do it for me. He says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. What are you saying here? So it's my Father is not glorified when you're not being blessed. My Father is not glorified when you're not being a blesser. He said, my Father is not glorified if you're not walking in the blessing. And the blessing is that you bear fruit. What is bearing fruit? Again, bringing men and women, boys and girls, into the kingdom of God. Their souls to be saved. And listen, friend, I don't know who you are today. You might be listening to this podcast, and you might not be saved. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now at this very moment. I want to extend to you an invitation. For Romans chapter 10 says, for there, as many as shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think that's around about verse 10 and 11. He says, for as many as call upon the name of the Lord, as many as you can call today, call upon his name. What is his name? His name is Jesus. What is his name? His name is Yeshua, for those of you who live in the Hebrew area. His name is Jesus. And the Bible says, as many as shall call upon his name shall be saved. That means saved, delivered from the ways of unrighteousness and the ways of sin. As many as shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, they shall receive life. That life is called the abundant. If that's you tonight, today, friend, that abundant life is yours. Hallelujah. That abundant life, that life, the Zoe life, is yours. It is yours, as verse 13 of that 10th chapter of Romans says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen, let me tell you something. And while we're on that right there, let's talk about verse 10. He says, for in chapter 10 of verse of Romans, he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And for the scriptures says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then he goes on to tell us, for there is no difference in between the Jew or the Greek. In other words, God has he's no respecter of person. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. And I'm not talking about a skin color of a race. There's only one race, and it's called the human race, of course. And that is, we're not talking about a skin color. We're talking about a group of people, nationality, which we've divided ourselves because we put ourselves in groups. There's only one race, and there's only one particular set of people, but we categorize ourselves because of the differences we have in skin color and whatever else, and customs and the way we live. But there's only one group of people, and that is and race, and that is the human race. So praise God. He says, but since we are divided in that perspective, he says, there's no difference between the Jew or the Greek. Now he says, there's no difference in between us. Either for the same Lord is rich over all that call upon him. In other words, it doesn't mean you have to have a silver spoon in your mouth, and you don't have to be born on one side of the city and another side in order for you to be, to call on the name of the Lord. Well, what are you saying, Brother Jerry? I'm saying to you today that it doesn't matter where you are and who you are. And it doesn't matter what situation you're living in. You can be at the best of what we call life or the worst of life. You can be in the guttermost, and you can be up to the uttermost, whatever you decide. But it doesn't matter. Wherever you are today in this society, You can call upon the name of the Lord. And I just want to emphasize that to you today, because that's the reason why I'm on this podcast, so that you can be saved, so that you can call upon his name and he will hear you. And the Bible says that he will deliver you from your sin. He says, as many as will call upon his name. Okay. Got a little sidetracked there, but that's the reason. That's actually the emphasis and the fullness of why we're doing the podcast today, is because of the fact that even though we're edifying those of you who are believers, our main objective is to make sure that we make other believers, more believers, to come into the body of Christ. Amen. How about that? All right. Now we get on over to verse 8. He says, "Herein my Father is glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." In other words, if you're not bearing fruit, you're not really being disciplined, or you're just a disciple. And so therefore, disciples bear fruit. Can I say that again? Disciples bear fruit. Disciples, people who are committed, people who have given over, people who have moved beyond themselves and become servants and friends to him, and I'll talk about that later on. We bear fruit. Amen. We bear fruit. Excuse me. Okay. So now, he says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Wow, what a word there. He says, "Because if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love." Now, what is he saying here? Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 21, and I believe we'll kind of give another understanding, because we're in John 15 now. But let's go to verse 21 of John chapter 14, the verse right next door to him. And let's see what the Apostle John is sharing there in the 14th chapter and the 21st verse. He says, "He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Now that's a powerful statement. He says, "I'll manifest myself to those who keep my commandment." In other words, I'll show myself. He said, I will manifest. Well, praise God. Somebody said, "Well, I've never seen Jesus." Well, all I can tell you is, if you keep his commandments, you will see him. And I don't care if you don't, you will see him not only in the words that he's ministering to you, but he will also manifest himself in the natural. He will manifest himself in a bodily form, if that's what it takes for you to understand that he means manifest. Manifest means to come forth. It means to show himself, or to show something. It means to bring about something that's seemingly in the dark into the light. You know, glory to God. So he says, "I'll manifest myself." Well, he's not going to say, "I'll manifest myself not through the love of God. I'll manifest myself in revelation. I will manifest myself in knowledge and wisdom and understanding. I'll manifest myself in the things that are in the abilities and all things that pertain to life and godliness concerning you in Christ Jesus." He said, "I'll manifest myself." Praise God to you if you will keep my commandments. And what is his commandments? His commandments are his words. Amen. And I praise him today. He said, those commandments will help you to abide in my love. In other words, what is the love? What love is he talking about? He's talking about the love of God. Who is God is love. But what he's saying is, you will keep the same fervency. He said, "In the last day, the love of many shall wax cold." What was he saying? The fervency, the desire, the agape. This is what love he's talking about. He's not talking about a sexual love. He's not talking about a physical love. He's not talking about the other types of love that we know, Eros and all those loves. He's talking about the agape type of love, that love that only comes from the Father, which is unconditional. It has no strings attached to it. It doesn't have anything that's holding it down. It doesn't make itself look good or try to make itself puff up. As Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, "You will abide in that type of love, that love that is patient, that love that is kind, that love that is true, that love that is long-suffering, that love that is there for you regardless of what goes on, that type of love that endureth all things and hopeth all things and believeth all things." He said, "If you will keep my commandments, you will abide in that type of love that never gives up on people and always holds holds them, praise God, in high esteem. That type of love is what he's talking about. And oh, friend, I feel the Spirit of God today as I'm ministering to you. And some of you are not being loving. Why? Because you feel like that the people have cast you out of life's back door and that there's something that you don't understand or you can't seem to comprehend about them. And you are failing to love them as you should. But I came by to tell you today that if you will keep the commandments of the Lord, his words, and be and let them abide in you, and you abide in him, you will be able to love as you should, as he loved us. And that's the type of love that I'm talking about or referring to today. The agape, the God kind of love. He said that. Praise God. He said, if you keep my commandments, then you will abide in me. In John chapter 14 and verse 21. He goes on over back into, we're going to go back over into verse chapter 15. And praise God. Verse 11. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might be remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Listen now. Love. Somebody says, I don't have any joy, and I'm not excited anymore. And I just don't know. I'm just in a dry place, and I don't know how much long I can take it. I'm just in a parched land right now in my salvation, or either in my life, and I just don't know what to do. Friend, I want to tell you something. It is the love of God that brings the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord, as Nehemiah said, is our strength. I believe Nehemiah chapter 8, somewhere around there. Yeah. He says, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's the joy of the Lord that brings you and I to a place. And it helps us to rejoice. The joy of the Lord. The only way that comes is by loving. And he said, if you keep my commandments, you will be able to love and you will be able to have joy. Watch what he says in verse 12. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13 says, greater love has no man than this, as I shared with you earlier, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. Did you not know, friend, that it is easier for you and I to actually die than it is for us to live? What are you saying, Brother Jerry? He said, what is laying down your life? Living or dying? Let me tell you something. It's easier to die physically than it is to lay down your life, lay down your living life. Why? What do you mean? Because laying down your natural life, it only takes one course of action, and that is, say, I've given up the spirit, given up in you committing your spirit to someplace, but if you're lost, you're going to commend your spirit to the things of evil and the gates of hell. If you're saved, you're committing your spirit into the hands of the Lord. So that's the difference between those two. But laying down your life in the living world, you're going to either give it to one or two people. You're going to serve somebody. You and I are going to be committed to somebody. And here we're talking about the Lord. But living a life is far greater and far more of a trying situation than dying. It costs us more to live, and it does cost something to die as well. But it costs more to live than it does to die. Now, that's what I was sharing with you earlier. I said we were going to get to that place. So let's go to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to understand what we're talking about when we say dying or committed. Matthew chapter 16 so vividly explains to us. Verse 24, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, here's Jesus talking again, if any man will come, listen now, after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross and follow me. He said, not just, you know, he didn't say a certain man, and he didn't say he didn't say man of higher echelon or middle class or any type of class of people that we categorize ourselves as. He said any man, if any man, whether you feel like you are up in status or low in status in the world or sociology and in the social society. If any man, he says, will come after me, friend, that can be you today. You can be a multimillionaire. You could be a pauper. You could be somebody that's in the, as I shared earlier, in the gutter of life, or you can be in what you consider the utter of life, the higher echelon of life, You can be whatever, aristocratic, or no-cratic. You can be anywhere. God said, he says, if any man, doesn't matter what religion you are, background, what doesn't matter what ethnic group you come out of, it doesn't matter what nationality you are coming out of. He said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow. What is he talking about? He's talking about denying himself of self-pity. You know, we want to say, woe is me, don't want to live this life. You know, this life is hard. See, didn't I tell you? Didn't I just say to you a few minutes ago that it's tougher to live a life than it is just to go ahead and to lay your life down and die? So if you let me put it this way today. If you and I do as Jesus has just said a few minutes ago, if we deny ourselves, then that means that we have to die to ourselves. We have to give up ourselves. We have to give up our way of living, our way of thinking, and our way of doing in order to follow him and do it his way. In other words, we give ourselves over to his will or his way. And so therefore, we're talking about a committed life to give over or fully give over to the Zoe God type of life. And that means that we must first deny our way of doing things and how we think things should be done. We give ourselves totally, fully, hallelujah, to him. Says, so if you deny yourself, self-pity, of saying that this life is so hard to live, and believe me, it is in some instances. But I'm not saying that, I'm not telling we are robots, or automatons, or just beings that you wind us up and we just do the same thing over and over. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that you and I have a choice to make. And that choice is, will we deny ourselves and live the life that has been given and afforded to us to be blessed? And that is the Zoe God type of life, the abundant life, as given to us in John chapter 10. 10 and 10 says, for the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you and I, friend, may have life, and that we may have it more abundantly. He says, now greater love than no man has no man than this. First, he said, then a man lay down, before we get to this, then a man lay down his life for his friend. In other words, if we're going to serve others, we're going to have to lay down our lives. We're going to have to lay down our lives to serve others effectively. And the only way we can lay our lives is that we deny ourselves and give ourselves wholly and fully to the will of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may bear fruit and be a blessing. We can be blessed to be a blessing to others, to serve them. Hallelujah. Doesn't that excite you that you can serve somebody today? That's what life is all about, friend. Blessing and serving others. Making and esteeming others better than ourselves. Let me tell you something. A dull life is not just all about you. A dull life is just all about me. That's not a life. That's just existing. But when we set out to be a service to others, when we set out to do things for others, to build others, to make the quality of life better for them, oh, that brings joy. Because what we're doing is we're going beyond ourselves, and we're looking beyond what we're dealing with. And we are loving somebody else. Now, I'm not saying to neglect your responsibilities. And I'm not saying to neglect the things that are before you in order for you to be a practical and prosperous person in the spirit of, in the era of example. I'm saying after we've done those things, then we can move forward to be of a greater and a better service, to bring better and greater quality of life, hallelujah, to others, after we've done what we were supposed to do in terms of self-denial. How about that? Amen. Praise God. So it's easier for us to die than it is for us to live. And my cliche, as I was getting ready to share a few minutes ago, is if you die once, you don't have to die twice. What are you saying, Brother Jerry? What I'm saying is if you die to yourself here, then you don't have to face the second death in eternity. And that is the eternal death of the lake of fire. If you die once here, you don't have to die twice. If you die once here, you'll live. And Jesus went on to say he says, whosoever will save his life in verse 25 shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. In other words, you will find yourself. You'll find your purpose in life. You'll find your purpose if you lose it for the sake of the gospel. Somebody says, but you don't understand. And this is what most people grapple with in life. They say, but you don't understand. I'm going to miss out on some things. And I'm going to miss out on everybody else having fun. And everybody else is doing this and doing that. And it just seems like I'm a square in the middle of a round period, a round circle. No, friend, you're not the square. You're not the one that's the outcast. You and I are not the ones that are outcast. Actually, we are the ones that are incast. And we are the ones who are actually living. Because when you and I give up our lives to bless other lives, then we find our life. We find our meaning. We find our purpose. We find what we are really about. We find out who we really are, and we find out how it is, how good it is to be a blessing to others. That's why Jesus said in the Beatitude, it's more blessed to give. It's more blessed to serve than it is to be served. Or it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Isn't that amazing? I'm not saying we shouldn't receive. Now, Mr. Mel, it's a paradox. It's a seeming contradiction. We should be able, and before we can be able to give, we got to receive. And don't let me mess you up with that. Like I said, it's paradoxical. It's seemingly a contradiction. But in order for us to be able to give, we've got to receive. So, okay, it goes hand in hand. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. And whatever you ask. In other words, we need each other. We need receiving to give, and we need giving to receive. Okay, leave it alone, Jerry, I will. But here's the deal. You figure it out. You know, you can't give what you don't have. Okay? So when God gives into us his love, he puts his love into us because we abide in him, he abides in us, then we can give that love out. We can use that love to serve others, if that makes sense to you. Praise God. All right, let's move on. Now, so if you lose your life for the sake of the gospel, you lose your life and commit yourself and give over, then you will be able to be a blessing to others. That's why we can see when Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils and lay hands on the sick and you know, drink any deadly thing. What he was saying is, and the sick shall recover, and nothing by any means shall harm them, any deadly stuff. So, and I know that he literally meant that. I know some people say he didn't, but, and now I'm going to talk about to tempt the Lord. But I believe in any case scenario, that was something that we had to deal with in that particular passage. Let's say if we went to another country and we were eating something that normally would make us sick or would give us all types of diseases in our body. And because those other people that are eating that, they're living, and we just bless it and say, okay, God, you said you would bless our food and our water, and for the sake of our bodies and the nourishment of it, and move on and believe by faith that God has done what he said, then it will not harm us. And I believe that. Now, if you don't believe that, you may be sick, okay? I just want to let you know that. But anyway, so what I'm saying is that when we do those things according to the will of God, I'm a little sidetracked there, but anyway, I want to say that. When we lose our lives, we can find it for the sake of others. Psalm 37. Well, let's just talk about Matthew 16. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. We talked about Matthew 16, about the nine ourselves. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, just for a minute. We kind of give us a little bit more of an explanation about what Jesus was alluding to here when he was talking to his disciples concerning the denial of themselves, or denial of the oneself in order to be of a greater service to the body of Christ. He says, Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. Now listen, Jesus died on the cross. He was raised from the dead. So this is what the Hebrew writer is talking about. Here he says, if any man, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, he says, if any man will come after me, he must first deny himself. Now, what he was saying was, and take up his cross. Jesus knew that he was going to die on a cross. He knew that that was his destiny for earth, because he recognized that the only way men, you and I, could be saved was by him dying. In other words, giving over to the will of God. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 or 54, where it says that it pleased God to bruise him. 53, that it pleased God in verse 10, I believe, it pleased God to bruise him for you and for me. So he says now, if in verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 7, but this man, because he continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, talking about Christ. He was raised forever. Wherefore, he is able also, listen, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. Let me tell you something. He is alive today. This is what the gospel is all hinged upon. The fact that he was raised from the dead. He rose from the dead so that you and I could have life. That's what the gospel is all about. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, then the gospel would be in vain, as Paul preached, as he shared through his gospel. Then our living and our preaching is in vain. But we know today, praise God, that he has been raised from the dead. Why? Because he ever liveth to make intercessions for you and me. And the Bible goes on to tell us in the scriptures, your Bible says, that he lives in us. He abides in us. Somebody says, well, how do you know that Jesus is alive? Well, he lives inside of me. Why? How do you know he lives inside of you? Because I've had a personal encounter with him. What do you mean? I've been possessed and full of him. Glory to God. That is his spirit. Now, there are two types of possession, one for bad and one for good. You can be possessed by a good spirit or an evil spirit. Let's be frank and let's be straight about that today. Amen. So, hallelujah. So he says we're possessed with the life of Christ, the Zoe, the God kind of life, the love of God, which is expressed from breast to breast, as one man said, a person, and from heart to heart. In other words, there's a connection there between you and me today that can only be come through the love of God. And that thing is like a plug being connected to an outlet. Praise God. That plug, whatever that plug is that brings, the outlet has the fire and the plug needs the fire. Amen. The plug-in unit or device or whatever mechanism you're using, the outlet is there for the plug to connect so that the plug, which has the fire, can bring, amen, an electrical charge to the device, and the device is cranked up and turned on. Praise God. So when we used to say back in our day, we were hooked up, plugged in, and turned on. Amen. Amen. Hooked up to what? Hooked up to the powerhouse. The powerhouse is a generating force. In our society, we have what we call electrical units of where electricity flows out. We call it the powerhouse. Amen. That's where all of the utilities and the electrical currents come through the wire lines that we use, and they send them to our houses or whatever places we use for business or whatever sake. And those currents that are there are alive because they're running through some type of electrical socket. And so the plug, and you know the story about that, this practical thing that we use now, but amen, it works because those connections have to be made in order for the device to function like it should. It has to have a powerhouse. Jesus is our powerhouse today. The Spirit of God is our connection. Amen. And his word helps us to plug in, hallelujah, and get turned on, amen, to the things of the Lord. Oh, boy, my time. Well, look, we got a few more minutes, and let me express this to you today. But in Psalms 37, Jesus, not what, I mean, in 7:25 of Hebrews, he says that he is there to save you from the uttermost. In other words, whatever your situation is in life, if you can deny yourself, glory to God, if you can move past yourself, and you can, because you have his strength, you have his power, you have his grace, and you have his mercy to do that. There is no excuse for you and I. Amen. Praise God. He wants to save you. That, you know, how can we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, as the Hebrew writer said? We can't escape this today. Let me tell you something. There is no escape for you and me. There's no escape for any person. Amen. The Lord has set himself in agreement. He says, I can save you from the uttermost. He said, I can save you from the uttermost situation. In other words, I like to say it like this. He can save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. And I don't care what that uttermost situation is that has you seemingly down. It can be the guttermost of all life, the guttermost, the lowest place in life that you feel like you can be. Friend, I stopped by to tell you today that you can commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and leave the guttermost and live in the uttermost, because he saves to the uttermost. He saves them to the uttermost, the highest degree of life, the highest degree of living. He wants to deliver you today. He wants to deliver me. He wants to save us from the guttermost of life to the uttermost in life. Amen. Seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for you and me. For such an high priest became us. He was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, as he said in Hebrews chapter 4. But yet he was not without sin. Amen. So I want to tell you today that you and I have not a high priest who has not been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But yet in all points, as we were, he was tempted. But yet he did not sin. He overcame. And as my pastor says, this is the year of overcoming. You and I are overcomers today, friend. And I want to tell you, praise God, we are overcomers. We have overcome. Why? Because we have the love of God inside of us. And it was the love of God that laid down his life. Amen. Through Jesus Christ for our sins. What greater love hath no man than this? Than a man lay down his life for his friend. That's love. Hallelujah. He died on the cross and he rose again. That's love. Amen. That's what the songwriter said. He hung his head and he died. But he rose again. That's love. Amen. So I want to tell you today that that's love for you. That's love for me. That a man would lay down his life. Not know. You know what? As I conclude today, as I share, David had that type of love for an animal. The Bible says that when the animals came after the sheep, he said a lion came and he slew the lion. When a bear came, he slew the would die for an animal. Well, it was not so much that he was dying for an animal. He was a shepherd, and that was his responsibility. It was the principle of the fact that he would give his life, put his life on the line for something that was seemingly worthless. That's what you and I, friend, we were worthless one day. But greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friend. And that's what Jesus did for you and me. As we conclude this podcast today, as we get ready to leave the airways, I want to tell you, amen, that you can live committed life. The committed life is through the love of Jesus Christ. As we close, Father, in the name of Jesus, remember those people that are listening to this podcast today. You and I, Father, who you gave your life for, those who are in degradation, those who are in derision, those who seemingly have no hope, let hope come alive today. Remove the derision, remove the shackles or the obstacles out of their lives, and let them see salvation, love, healing, and deliverance from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Until we meet next time, friend, I want you to know that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And always hear me say, the good news is that the bad news is wrong. God bless you. Tune again next week, this weekend on Friday, as we continue another podcast in the committed life. Until then, God bless you, and may his riches forever be yours.